In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He healed the deaf and mute man. But there were other deaf men, other mute men that he did not heal. They said he has done everything well, but I'm sure many others would disagree as they lost their hearing, their eyesight, their speech, their loved ones. Not every leper was cured. Not every bleeding woman was healed. Not every grieving mother received back her son from the dead. He fed 5,000 and then 4,000, while countless others starved throughout the world. He helped people of one region, while those in Africa, Asia, and America were seemingly left to themselves. He worked only for 3 years, while for the other thousands of years, men and women succumbed to these same ailments, these same problems. He can help them, but he doesn't. At least not in the way we think he should help. Today there are more than 5,000 who are starving. Many are blind, deaf, and mute, and hundreds of thousands die each day. These problems haven't gone away. Perhaps we ourselves already need glasses or hearing aids. But even if our ears and eyes remain intact, our body will still slow down. We lose mobility. We can't fully function like we used to. We're not as energetic, not as strong, but we are a bit more forgetful. And if we haven't hit that yet, we will. We know full well that we someday will. That we will reach a peak to our physical and mental strength. And there is a backside to that mountain. It doesn't happen all at once, and not even the same for everyone. But there is a peak, and we know that we will head down that backside until finally we are planted in the ground, for dust we are. Sin has taken its toll. Just think about how many different kinds of cancer there are, or how many viruses and bacteria there are. We escape one only to fall into the hands of another. We are healed through medication only to suffer from its side effects. We have peace, mental peace, only to have yet another old problem drag itself up and burden our conscience. Another broken relationship, another difficulty, another burden. If each of us took the time to list all of our problems today, we would probably be here all day. The effects of sin are many. What we deal with is much. And the greater the challenge, the more we wonder why God is allowing this to happen to me. Why hasn't he healed me yet? Why doesn't he give me one of his miracles? And so it's very easy to assume that God is very aloof, far away from us, looking down at us from heaven as we are here to struggle on our own. It's very tempting. But this is not what God intended his creation to be. Our first mother and our first father listened to the lies of Satan, and so their ears were filled with Satan's voice rather than the voice of God. The forbidden fruit bound their tongue, so they were unable to declare God's praises. And since we are their descendants, we too share in their sin, destined for death. We are but a mere shell of that glorious creation. And so Jesus sighs. He sighed before he healed that deaf mute, and he sighs when he looks at you. He takes no pleasure in your pain or your suffering. It causes him pain and sadness too. He doesn't like to see you struggle. It breaks his heart as you gradually begin to slow down and finally are laid in the ground. He did not create you to die, but to live forever in his image and his likeness. He groans and he sighs as he looks at this world and sees yet another shooting. Another disaster, as he even sees people unable to function on their own. He looks at them and sighs. He looks at you and sighs because he sees the root of the problem. The problem is not that you are getting old. The problem is sin. The problem is always sin. Sin has depleted your strength and has robbed your mind of its thoughts. Sin keeps your legs from running and your feet from jumping. Sin makes you slow down, lose your hearing, your speech, your eyesight. Sin stops your heart and your lungs from working. The wages of sin is death. And so as Jesus healed this deaf mute, he really only dealt with the symptoms of sin. Healing this deaf mute did not restore him to God's image and likeness. Feeding the 5,000 did not give them forgiveness of sins. Raising a dead person did not make them whole and complete and holy forever. As astounding as these miracles were, they were merely covering the symptoms of sin. And so a better miracle is needed, a more full and complete miracle that not only deals with the surface, but goes down to the very root, takes away sin. The greatest miracle is not in any of these stories, but it is in the passion and resurrection of our Lord Christ. There on the cross, you see the greatest miracle possible. Your God died for you. Is there anything more astounding or amazing than that? Your God, the maker of heaven and earth, who rules all things, and no one can touch him, allows sinful men to touch him and kill him. Your God died for you to take away that sin. No miracle compares to that. Because his ears were filled with the insults and taunts of sinful men and finally stopped in death, he can open the ears of sinners. Because his tongue fell silent for 3 days, he can open the lips of mute sinners like you and me. He has suffered our punishment and our pain. He takes our sin and succumbs to its curse to win forgiveness for you and to restore you back to the image and likeness of God so you can be everything that God has intended you to be. Not just once again a glorious creation, but a creation that is filled with God's glory, made perfect even as he himself is perfect. So why hasn't God taken away some of these first century problems, starvation, bad water, diseases, ailments, and the like? We suffer from them even as those in the first century suffered from them. Why hasn't God fixed this world? He has. He has fixed this world. Because he removed sin, the root of the problem, he has also taken away all those effects of sin. They cannot harm us. We often miss it, though, because we forget his cross. We don't see it because we forget his cross. We think God is somewhere up in heaven just looking down on us because we forget his cross. We think God hasn't healed us because we forget his cross. We think God won't help us or hasn't because we forget his cross. The cross of Christ, the death of our God, is not simply the solution for our sin, but for our day-to-day struggles in life. That alone allows us to overcome. That alone is what has overcome for us and then fully given to us. So Jesus' sighs are not expressions of helplessness as our sighs often are, but they are expressions of his deep love and concern for you. He touched death for you so that he might touch you to heal you. You cannot touch God. You cannot touch God. He is too great, too glorious. It is why God had Israel put a barrier around Mount Sinai. Anyone who touched that mountain would die. You cannot touch God, but God does touch you. God touches you. This is not a metaphor or simply a sentimental thought. This is a reality. That maker of heaven and earth, who fills all things, even those distant galaxies, however many billions of light years away, the God of Sinai, who appeared to Moses on the burning bush and also to Israel in the pillar of fire. That God who was laid in a grave, that God reaches out his hand to stick his fingers into your ears and unplug them from Satan's lies. He drives out all sin through the forgiveness of sins. He does not remain far away as he gives this to you, but he is up close and personal. He himself enters your ears through that word that is preached. He himself touches your tongue so that you might once again declare God's praises now and forever. God touches your body. The word is not an abstract idea or thought, but the word became flesh. The flesh of God touches your lips in holy communion. The blood of God swirls around your tongue to set it free. Here is the joy of the sacraments. We are not a bunch of brains just floating around in a pool looking for knowledge. We are physical and concrete creatures. And so God deals with us in a physical and concrete way. It's how we operate. It's how we communicate. We are physical and concrete and have physically been ruined by sin. And so God physically comes to touch us in holy baptism, to impart the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. He deals with us according to our senses, so that with these same senses, we can once again praise and glorify God, that it is not just our soul that is restored, but it is this physical body that is restored to glory and life forever. And this miracle of God touching you far surpasses any miracle you read about in the Holy Scriptures outside of his passion and resurrection. It's an ongoing miracle this very day. And so this is why Jesus commanded the crowds not to tell anyone about what he did. He didn't want them to think that he had come only to remove the effects of sin. He loved them, and so he healed them, but that healing was only temporary. It pointed to a better healing, a more full and complete healing that truly drove out all sin and blindness and impurity. It pointed ahead to his cross, back to the cross, where he won that forgiveness of sins, not only for one individual, but for an entire world. That is why he came. The earthly minded will view that as secondary, but it's why he came. The earthly minded want a good life right now. They want everything to go according to their plans right now. While the heavenly minded want the life of heaven right now. The earthly minded want Christ to show his power in their lives by healing them from their problems and granting them success in all their endeavors and relationships, while the heavenly minded see that Christ has already healed them from all their problems by his cross. The earthly minded want a healthy body right now, while the heavenly minded want nothing more than Christ to touch this sinful body and to heal it with his forgiveness. His miracles helped one person of one problem, but his death, his forgiveness, his resurrection, his word and his sacraments help people of all times and every place. They're for all. And so this very day, think of how many billions of people God is touching as he imparts to them this forgiveness of sins to keep and maintain them holy and righteous. It truly is an ongoing miracle. And he does the same for you this day. Yes, we still have problems. We still have difficulties. They cause us to sigh and groan and stress out at times and even feel helpless. But Jesus looks at you. He too sighs. He too groans. And then he touches you to heal you by the forgiveness of sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.